listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. We got an action-packed hour for you this Tuesday. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Obviously, conference championships. We're going to discuss how the lines are moving, how the sharp action is coming in. And at the bottom of the hour, we're also going to be discussing, I think, some misperceptions from last week. So last week, we reviewed yesterday the Sunday games, the Saturday games. I think some of the takeaways are just plain incorrect. We'll be talking about that bottom of the hour. Also, something else incorrect, in my opinion, how does weather affect these games? And I've heard a lot of talk about it. We've got the Vegas perspective that is quite frankly different than the talk I'm hearing. Speaking of the NFL, we have a true expert in studio, Steve Fezzik. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, here on Straight Outta Vegas. We are going to start in college basketball, where Monday night Syracuse beat number one Duke 95-91 in overtime. The Dukies' first loss at home as the number one team since 2006. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the Blue Devils' loss?
Yeah, I'm hearing historic. Some are saying historical. Brad, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the number Jonas just mentioned. In fact, Duke had never lost to any team not named North Carolina as the number one team at home. They were 104-0, number one team at home, not playing North Carolina.
Okay, so you're saying in all the weeks, and it's crazy that they've had maybe the real takeaway here is Duke's had 104 home games in which they were ranked number one at the time.
Yes.
And they never lost.
Never lost. Outside of North Carolina.
Okay, and then?
And then here's what happened last night. Syracuse. First off, Syracuse, a 17-point underdog in that game. This entire basketball season, there had been 438 teams coming into that game that were getting 17 points or more. Only 5 of those teams were able to win the game outright.
So what we're saying is, in general, this big of an underdog, Syracuse, 17 or more point underdog, and they were what last night?
They were 17.
5 out of 438
heading into last night.
So about one, a little more than 1 in 100.
Yes.
Wins.
Excellent, Matt.
Wow. And, well, I got my adding machine right here at any time. Right? You don't see when you hear it, it gives it away. I just mute it and you can't hear it. So it's a huge upset in general. What did the money line play?
13-1.
Ooh, juicy. That's nice.
Very juicy.
You know, I always put out a list of big upsets when there's talk of big upsets. And I think people make a big mistake when they talk about like Leicester City or, the Rams in 99 won 300-1, because that is multiple events. And not that that doesn't count. It's just, okay, if you have to have 6 things happen, obviously the odds can be astronomical. And Leicester City probably was the biggest odds I've ever seen on anything that actually happened. But in a way, you could say every time the lottery hits, whatever the numbers are, the odds of that are like 40 million to 1 or whatever based on the number. So things unusual happen all the time. It's just, did we consider the possibility? Obviously, there was a line on this game. And Buster Douglas is famous, and ESPN recently had the 42-1, which Jimmy Vaccaro here, longtime Vegas bookmaker, was the only guy in the world that had to bet up at the Mirage, Tyson, Buster Douglas, 42-1. But then you hear some of these other ones like Georgetown against Villanova, the famous 1985 college basketball game. The line in that game was about 9.
Yep.
Line in this game?
17.
All right. The famous Duke beating UNLV, Larry Johnson, and some say the greatest college basketball team of all time, undefeated in the Final Four round. That line was 9, 9.5.
Yep.
So some of these famous ups, even the Miracle on Ice, right? So USA beating Russia in that specific game was in the 15-1 range. And I've done a lot of research on it. I've seen different numbers. I trust the 15-1 on that one. So really what we're saying is that Syracuse beating Duke was in the range of likelihood of, do you believe in miracles with the Miracle on Ice? Wow. So does this, do we really downgrade Duke? What do we do here?
Wait, here, first off, why did the upset happen? Let's go to the box score. One major factor for Duke: had an historically bad performance from three-point range. Duke panicked. They're down. They're in a close game. They start chucking up a bunch of threes. That's usually, it happens, some teams that struggle, a young team against the Syracuse zone. A school record, 43 three-point attempts for Duke, only made 9 of them. That was in the box score. What wasn't in the box score, RJ, was the fact that Duke was playing without their third and fourth best players. Third best player, very late scratch. No one knew. Heck, the line would have moved had anyone known that Cam Reddish would have been out in the game. And then during the game, early on, Duke lost their point guard, Trey Jones.
Okay, so we're saying, yeah, great performance by Syracuse. Some circumstances working against Duke that weren't assumed entering the game. So give it a big exclamation point, but not a panic time for Duke fans.
Yeah, and here's what the futures market says about Duke. No change. Last night, big upset, no change. Duke right now, RJ, is being priced as the second best team in the last 10 years in the futures market. Duke to win the title plus 175. Only that famous Kentucky team from 4 years ago had shorter odds.
That's fascinating. So to put a button on it, right now, even after this 1 in 100 upset, Syracuse over Duke, Duke is considered, relative to the competition this year, the second biggest favorite we've had in the last decade at this point in the season. Obviously, when you get to the Final Four, whatever. But at this point, pre-tournament, Duke is the second biggest favorite we've had to win the title in the given year, and only behind that famous Kentucky team, which, by the way, lost to Wisconsin, if I recall, didn't win the title.
Yep. Started 38-0 and lost.
Fez, last point.
Yeah, to draw a parallel, remember how good Villanova was rolling to the title last year? Well, they weren't that good in February. What happened to Villanova? They lost two starters. What just happened to Duke? They lost two starters in this game.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, Villanova wasn't even the favorite entering the tournament last year, were they?
No.
Yeah, so they ended up being a really good team, but the expectations for Villanova, not that, what were they, top 5 or 6 favorite though, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they were in that top tier, but not even the favorite last year. This Duke team, second biggest favorite in a decade.
Guys, from a historic Duke loss to historic weather conditions at the AFC Championship game, in which the National Weather Service is projecting something, I don't know what the hell this is, an Arctic blast to settle over Kansas City for the Chiefs game.
You know, I think Colin made a point that's a special with Dairy Queen.
Is that what it
week.
Is?
That kinda, yeah, sounds good.
I thought it was the frozen drink you get at AM/PM, but maybe that's an icy. I have no idea. But nonetheless, it is the AFC title game right now on pregame.com. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite hosting the Patriots. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on the weather conditions that could overshadow what some are calling a great matchup between New England and Kansas City?
To me, it makes it more interesting, right? Because this is playoff football. And I really, truly believe the game would benefit. Imagine, let's just talk about the NFL big picture for a second. Right now, we know, and this has been repeated many times, but it bears repeating, the 4 best offenses, points scored per game, are the Final Four teams. Now, what's the implication? All right, if you're trying to find cause and effect, have a great offense, you have great success. Now, that to me seems a little boring. Now, maybe I'm mid-40s, maybe it's, I don't get it like the kids, and I'm sure, I listen to some of the music, I'm sure I don't get it sometimes, right? But I love the idea of the following caveat in October. We're sitting here talking about Mahomes in year 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. We're talking about the next superstar, and we're thinking, wow, they're 6-1. Great record. They look unstoppable. But I wonder, when it hits January and it's really, really cold, how's this team going to do? And then you look at a Bears team that maybe is the number two seed instead of the number one seed, isn't putting up near the points, but you're thinking, I wonder, a game at Soldier Field in January, how it's going to be. To me, anything like arena football feels like, oh, perfect conditions. You're going to have a lot of scoring no matter what. We obviously know arena football is not near as popular. Now, I get it. 10-7 games for a lot of people are boring, but making it somewhat difficult, you know, it's almost like with golf, you know, they got the science behind the, you know, the graphite titanium woods and the just enough bend on the shaft and all that stuff with the driver. And I'm thinking, okay, I can accept all that. I don't want them playing with like the hickory sticks or whatever back in the day, but I do like the idea. Yeah. Maybe that one sand trap is really tough to get out of, or the Bermuda rough is particularly tough. The idea, it's not just easy, because as great as they are, we don't want it to be easy. Isn't it curious in tennis, for example, that the two of the four majors are on quirky surfaces, meaning grass is hardly played on Wimbledon, and then clay, though in Europe is big and down in South America, but for in America, in the U.S., not as popular. And a guy like Sampras could dominate Wimbledon, but could never win on the clay. It's like if you have a rocket serve and you have a great game at the net, you still are going to struggle here. We're not going to make it easy. But all across the U.S., it's all hardcore, or almost all, and the conditions are borderline perfect. I like the idea of the best in the world struggling because the circumstances make it that even the best might have a problem. So to me, I remember the famous Green Bay in Dallas?
Ice Bowl.
Okay. Oh, well, you're talking way back in the... I'm saying it would have been Brett Favre's maybe last year.
Oh, against the Giants.
Was that the Giants?
NFC game? Title game. Yeah.
Yes. To me, what do we remember? I didn't necessarily remember the team, but what did we remember? It was Brett Favre, and all the talk was, oh, he's getting a little older. This used to be the time he dominates, cold. But boy, he looks a little cold on that sideline, doesn't he? Remember that game?
Yep.
So I get it. Like, you don't want to see, I don't think it'd be good for the health of these players playing in this weather all the time. But considering that this is the year of the offense, unlike any year in the history of the NFL, to have one of the, it's almost like the dichotomy, a dome between two super high scoring teams and really one of the cold, if it gets down to 5 degrees, one of the coldest games in the last 20 years. And to me, it's appropriate in this year of offense. And when we come back, we're going to tell you how many games have been played since 2000 when the temperature's been single digits. It's only 11 games. 11 games since 2000, and the results when it comes to scoring may surprise you.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we're going to take another look at the AFC title game and the historical significance of the weather that is inclement there in Kansas City.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 48 degrees in the neon is pumping.
So, RJ, we've talked about the Arctic blast that is expected at Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs and the Patriots game, the AFC title game coming up this Sunday. From the Vegas standpoint, looking back on poor weather conditions in playoff games like we've seen before, what was your takeaway as the voice of Vegas from what we've watched and what we're hearing from the national media?
Well, listen, Jonas, I want to tell you something about myself personally. You may have picked up on this, maybe not, but now you're going to know. I love knowing things that other people don't know. I love it. Now, what's great is when you have a humongous platform like Fox Sports Radio offers, we have 200 stations and obviously Sirius, iHeartRadio app, etc. Then the joy of all the thanks, and really it's true, guys, when you retweet us, when you just say thanks on Twitter, wherever, it makes kind of giving some secrets away worth it. But I especially love having secrets from Fezzik and Brad, because these are the pros, and let's be honest, who doesn't want to know more than the pros? So Fez, I've got the answer, the factual, data-driven answer, objective, unequivocal, about the weather. You've got a lot of gut feelings. So what I'm going to let you do is explore the gut feelings. Tell me what you think the weather's going to affect it's going to have. And then I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to feel really haughty about it when I do. So first thought, as a longtime professional batter, a guy who hasn't had a straight job for a long, long time because you're so good at this, the Arctic blast, how is it affecting your handicap?
I would expect the Arctic blast, the really cold weather, will depress scoring. Scoring should be much less than it would be under better conditions. However, the marketplace, of course, is going to make a significant adjustment for that weather. And will I expect that we're going to see a total that's going to continue to drop from the current level of 55.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because that's kind of the key of what makes Vegas so good at what they do, but also so hard to beat. If I said, oh, I'm betting against the Patriots in a given game, not this week, because Tom Brady's out, you'd be thinking, well, wait a minute. Everybody knows Tom Brady's out. The line adjusts accordingly. So the only way you can make money betting that Tom Brady is out is if the market either over or underestimated his impact. That's why we're always talking. How much is LeBron worth? How much is the weather worth? So your point is you think unequivocally the extreme cold is going to make scoring more difficult, but you also know everybody else kind of senses that too, and thus you expect the total to drop as it has. You expected that, it's done it, and you're thinking even more dropping as we confirm, yes, it is going to be that cold, and quite frankly, some weekend warrior-type bettors get involved and say, geez, you know, on Sunday morning, you know, we're talking about a Tuesday. And the poor people who don't listen Straight Out of Vegas are going to be like Sunday morning. Do you hear it's going to be cold in Kansas City? And then they're going to look to go under, right?
They're going to turn on their TV. It's not just going to be an Arctic blast. It's going to be a subarctic blast.
Oh, now, so here's the question. Do you feel like typically the adjustment is going to be not enough, meaning they're going to decrease the over-under total with their under bets, but it will be insufficient and thus still value on the under? Do you think it probably gets adjusted just right? Or maybe too much, where a contrarian play might be, oh lordy, now we're getting to go over 49 or something, and they adjusted too much. If you had to put a bet in right now on the total at the closing number, not today's total, but almost like a horse race, you make a bet without knowing the odds get finalized and you've got that bet. If you had to make a bet on the closing total, not knowing what it is, but predicting it, do you bet over or under?
I bet over.
So you think there's going to be an overreaction to the weather?
Correct.
RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas, talking about the Arctic blast of weather in Kansas City and how it's going to affect the game, and also how it's going to affect betting on the game. Now, why do you think cold is having such an effect? Though you're thinking we might overreact to it as a market, you're still saying the cold has a significant effect. Why?
Well, number one, you simply can't kick long field goals. So when a team has the ball on their opponent's 34, they punt instead of kicking. So that alone typically costs the scoring 3 points just from that one factor.
3 points in a game?
Yes.
And at what temperature does that start to be the case?
Right about 20 degrees.
Okay, interesting. Now, couldn't the case be made that typical NFL coaches kick too many field goals, don't go for it enough on fourth down, and being forced to go for it could potentially add to more scoring?
I don't think so, RJ, because if you're on the opponent's 30, if you kick a field goal and you make it, or if you go for it, you're going to run another 3 minutes off the clock on that drive. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the thing is, wait, hold on a second. If you knew, if you were going to get a fourth down, or if you're going to convert on a fourth down and you've got a total. So let's say you're watching the game and you got the under and they decide to go for it on fourth. If they make it, you aren't celebrating going, woo, they're going to have to run more plays before they score a touchdown.
Well, they might not make it, though.
Well, yeah, but assuming they make it a normal amount of time, I've never seen a fourth down converted, Brad, on an under better and someone celebrating. Now they got to run some more plays before they get 7 points.
I'm just saying, if I bet the over, I'm indifferent.
You know, when someone says, I'm just saying, they're really saying, I'm not saying, I'm trying. All right, but let's agree in general, there are going to be spots where it's third and 12 or fourth and 12 that the choices are punting or kicking the field goal. You're saying and not only do you lose the 3 points if you don't kick the field goal that you could have potentially made, but additionally, you probably pin them back oftentimes. And there's nothing worse for an over batter than long drives from the 10 to the other team's 40. Then they punt and it starts on the other 10. I mean, two of my ulcers, I think, came from that specific situation over the years.
Anyone who saw New Orleans' 14-minute drive that bet over last week knows what you're talking about.
True enough. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Now, we're talking to Steve Fezzik about the Patriots, Kansas City, the weather factors. So you're saying, number one, less field goals, why weather affects, in this case, both teams equally. Factor two,
quarterbacks have to wear the gloves because it's so cold, and you have to catch the ball with gloves as the receiver. It's a little bit more difficult, certainly, in the very cold weather.
So when I see you outside with your Mercedes fumbling around when it's like 40, trying to get your keys in the door, you're saying it's kind of like that. Just the dexterity of the digits.
My biggest fear is you watch me exit the studio, RJ, on a daily basis, and you're like, what is he doing?
Well, you know, you only slip on the ice like every fourth time. Lucky you're in Vegas. You're in the right place. Let's just say that. Growing up in Dayton, not quite the same. And I think that makes sense, right? Anyone that's been in cold weather. Now, listen, these are professional athletes. But some things like, oh, how much can you bench? How much can you squat? The pro athletes have a big advantage over normal people. Things like your hands are really cold, they might have an advantage, but I don't think it's enough to make it a non-factor.
And if you're going to try things like halfback option passes, gimmicky plays, which are good for the over, I think you're going to minimize those calls.
So you're saying more conservative play calling.
Yes.
So not only is the ability to execute on the field affected, but the conservativeness of the play calling goes up, which leads to less scoring.
Correct.
All right, last thing. I'll give you one more here. Patriots KC, Arctic weather. How's it going to affect scoring? Vegas perspective, the crowd. You're thinking the crowd's going to be affected.
Yeah, because the crowd now is cold. They're wearing mufflers over their face. Going to be hard to make more noise in 0 degrees versus 70 degrees.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, especially later in the game. Because I think that there's almost, like, imagine you get there, it's 90 minutes before, you're waiting, you're getting cold, you're waiting. Then the game starts. It's going to be like such a release. Ah! But then now, halftime.
Yeah.
And then it's good. Yeah. So you would then decrease home field advantage.
Yes.
Okay. That's Steve Fezzik straight out of Vegas. Brad Powers, same question to you. If you have any additions, if not, don't worry about it. What do you think the effects are beyond what Fez said to this Kansas City, New England game when it comes to the historically cold weather?
I would say this is going to be contrarian. I think there's going to be less intensity because you're more focused on the weather than maybe the intensity of the game. To me, I would think less intensity might actually create a little bit more scoring.
So explain less intensity, as in, give me an example. We're all close our eyes and tell us like something that would happen on the field in the cold. Because what I'm thinking is some high school movie where the kid's all depressed because he just got his scholarship pulled. It's really cold, and he's going to the sidelines to make a tackle, and it kind of pulls up saying, why even try? I don't think we're going to see that. So what are we talking about?
Well, I'm not saying it's a 10% reduction.
I don't want the abstractions. I want close your eye. We're all going to close our eyes across the country.
Yep.
If you're driving, don't do it. And tell us, paint us a picture. What are you talking
about? All right. So perfect playing conditions. Intensity is no issue in any football game, as far as I'm concerned. It's in the furthest from their minds. But when it's 10 degrees outside, I think there's has to be a part of you, no matter what the down is, that you're focused a little bit in the back of your mind about the cold.
So you're so it's really distraction.
Distraction. That's the better word.
Okay. Now, why does the it seems like the defense is a more instinctual side of the ball. You're running and tackling. Like, let's just say this. It's going to sound ludicrous, but I think it makes a good point. Imagine if someone took like a bunch of some kind of pill, right? Some kind of opioid that makes you all kind of, but that makes you groggy. Let's say there was some, let's say you got drunk, but you didn't get tired. Like you drank Red Bull and vodka. Here we go. So if every player on the Patriots and every player on the Pats and the Chiefs all drank a bunch of Red Bull and vodka before the game, I think there'd be less scoring. Because I think the defense, though distracted by being drunk, it's simpler to just kind of attack the ball, right? They might not be as complex. But on offense, think about that quarterback. He's making all these crazy Z-right 28s and all this stuff. And even the linemen these days, it's so advanced what they do. It seems like if you're distracted, doesn't that hurt the offense more than the defense?
I'd have to agree with you, RJ.
Yeah, last point.
It is hard to tackle in the cold when your fingers are freezing. That hurts the defense.
Well, that might be you when you were playing pickup. I don't think you think they're not going to tackle. I mean, these are people that have broken wrists and they tape it up. These are people that cut their fingers off so it doesn't get in the way when they break their finger.
Still harder to grab and hold on, RJ.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that they're going to try as hard.
Yes.
But the offense might break away.
Yes.
Well, then doesn't that lead to more scoring?
That leads to more scoring. That leads to better rushing.
So here's the conclusion. These guys have no idea. Because the reality is, I've been in Vegas 21 years now, Jonas, and I've heard a bunch of different theories about the weather. And these guys are touching on some of the consensus ones. In just 1 minute, I'm going to tell you what the math, what the numbers say about extreme cold weather in the NFL.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Not a huge night in the NBA with the amount of games we have, but some big storylines, including Jimmy Butler and the 76ers taking on his former team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sixers made a move today by signing Corey Brewer to a 10-day contract. The Lakers are home to the Bulls tonight, but without LeBron James. LeBron did take part in the team's shoot-around today, getting closer and closer to returning from that injured groin. Head coach Luke Walton said he continues to ramp up his workouts, with LeBron expected to be re-evaluated tomorrow. And it's 1-2 tonight in the Western Conference in Denver. Nuggets home to the Warriors. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says that DeMarcus Cousins remains on track to make his season debut Friday against the Clippers. Some notes from the NFL. Giants quarterback Kyle Laletta pleaded guilty to a disorderly charge after disobeying traffic officers' directions in October. Jets are set to hire Greg Williams as their defensive coordinator. Well, former Lions offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter is going to interview with the Cardinals for their coordinating vacancy. And Cowboys owner Jerry Jones standing by his head coach Jason Garrett, who will be back next season, making those comments to 105.3 The Fan.
If Jason had been out on the market 2 weeks ago, he would have had 5 offers for head coaching. I know that. So you've got to look at what your alternative is.
And Eagles head coach Doug Peterson confirmed Carson Wentz will be their starting quarterback in 2019. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. We are straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And I can tell you, Jonas, just for my personal enjoyment as a broadcaster, I hope Jim Bob Cooter has a job next year.
Trust me. And look up his resume. There's some wild stories with that guy. Very, very entertaining follow. All right. So, RJ, a lot of people will make predictions and they'll call their shot on these games. But you actually have the numbers. You've got the numbers to back up what you think is going to happen and what could happen this weekend in the AFC and NFC title games. What are those?
It's fascinating in that you often see almost like, you know, True Detective is starting back up on show or on HBO. And in the first season, there's a famous time is a flat circle. Well, when it comes to sharpness versus squareness, it's often a circle, as in the squarest person has an opinion. Then a quasi sharp, kind of a wannabe sharp, has another opinion. And then the super sharp has another opinion. And often the super sharp opinion is the same as the square opinion. It just goes all the way around. So let's look at this. The squarest person, if you ask my mom, and says, hey, it's really cold outside. What do you think is going to happen in the football game? She's going to say less scoring, right? Now, if you ask a wannabe sharp, the duct tape on the shoe guys, let's say, you're going to get the answer of, yeah, there's the scoring goes down, but it's really wind and a ton of snow that affects scoring more. And thus the market is going to adjust too much. So you want to be contrarian and go over. Now, we're not casting any aspersions at Fez. But when Fez said, oh, where, you know, if we ask him the question, where do you think the total ends up? Do you bet over under? He's thinking overreaction. All right. So Fez, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm, you know, just giving you the facts. A lot of those types are going to say, and Fez are going to say that. So let's think about it. Let's say the total, when this game opened, what, 57?
58.
Okay. So game opens 58 over under. And let's say the total ends up going down to, what do you think it closes at, Fez, if you had a guess?
53.
And you're saying, hey, the right total due to the weather is 56. You're saying, yeah, it should drop 2 points because of some of the factors we talked about, but it's dropping 5 points, thus the value's on the over. And that theory is making the rounds. And listen, guys, be very careful on Twitter. It's one thing to watch a movie because someone recommends it. It's another thing to hear a rumor about some pop star or movie star and pass it on. But if you're betting your money, make sure you got the right data. So here's what's making the rounds on Twitter is, oh, the cold weather actually leads to overs because there is, as Fezzik said, and this incorrect information said, there is too much of a reaction, and thus the value becomes on the under. It's almost like if there's a house that has a stinky smell to it, it probably sells for less. But if you know you can scrub that smell out for a couple $1,000s, but the house is selling for $10,000 less, you buy the house because of the stinky smell. They're saying the incorrect information, at least in this case, is saying there's too much of an adjustment, go over. And when the temperature is between 20 and 32 degrees, so below freezing, 20 or above, since 2000, there's been 117 overs, 109 unders. So about 51.8% over. Makes sense. Too much reaction. But it's right there. Then you look from 10 degrees to 19 degrees. So man, is it cold. 28 overs, 19 unders. Almost 50 or almost 60% over. Wow, Fez, you might be right, but you're not. Here is game temperature below 10 degrees. 2 overs, 9 unders. Now, listen, anytime you're in the NFL, you're going to have statistically small samples. So you can say 11, 2 and 9 under. Hey, you can flip, you know, 9 heads out of 11 flips. True. But the logic follows what we see with precipitation. If it snows a little, if it rains a little, the effect is not near as much as people think. I tend to play over in those games if I'm going to play. But when there's a foot of snow, when it's a torrential downpour, the under's almost a lock. It's like, I mean, literally, they can't make the total small enough. Fez, have you found that with precipitation?
Yeah, absolutely. And we see some games that end 3-0 that basically is just a complete mud field.
Yeah, or 10-6 kind of. Yeah, exactly.
What's fascinating, your stat, RJ, is Sunday night, the early forecast for Kansas City temperature, 17 degrees. The current forecast, 5 degrees.
And that's the point. We've moved now into only 11 times in almost 20 years kind of weather, and the history tells us. Now, another way when you have small sample is you look at, well, how far are the results from, in this case, the over-under, and it's almost 5 points a game towards the under. So it wasn't like a bunch of close ones. It's literally saying the market is about 5 points too high when the temperature gets this extreme. One last thing, and this one is an eye popper. You're going to hear, now that I'm going to share it, you're going to hear this one a bunch. Patriots Chiefs over under is currently, what would you say the fair current number is, Fez?
55.
55. No NFL game ever has had a total of 50 plus when the temperature's been below 24 degrees. 24. Never, ever have we had a total 50 or above in which the temperature was below 24 degrees. And now the temperature is supposed to be 5 degrees. So what we're saying is typically, and it goes into this idea of running teams are going to be hurt less. The theory is if you have a really high total, you got two passing teams. We've never seen a situation where two teams that pass as much as these two do in order to score so many points, it's usually about passing. And as much as the Pats, you could say, oh, they're running the ball more, they still got to pass to score more than the average team, let's say. We've never had two high-powered offenses playing in weather this cold without the total adjusting so much it gets below 50. So we're at 55 and 5 degrees, and historically it's never been above 50, even at 23 degrees, so below 24. Boy, that is a drastic difference, distance from history and where we're at right now.
And that 5 degrees is that kickoff. This game kicks off at sunset. It's going to get even colder.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this. I want to do a little more research on wind and snow and some of these, because that is important. Obviously, we don't expect the snow here, but how many of these really low temperature games had wind and snow versus what we're seeing here? And as the week progresses, we'll share it right here on Straight Out of Vegas. When we come back, we get an early NFL look and also the biggest basketball games of the night.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got college hoops tipping off a little over 10 minutes from now in Athens, Georgia. It is Kentucky at Georgia. Right now on pregame.com, the Wildcats are a 7.5-point favorite.
Real-time radio, baby. Brad, college knowledge. Tell us what we should do.
Yeah, I lean with Georgia in this one. Both teams very young heading into the season. So where does that show up, in my opinion, more often than not? Home and away. Usually younger teams much better at home than on the road. That's the case here. Kentucky, they're the road team. Kentucky has only covered 25% of the time away from home this season. On the flip side, Georgia, 6 straight covers at home. Just a lean for me here on Georgia plus the 7.5.
So not enough to bet it. Dave Esler, one of the pregame pros up at the website, he had some analysis on this game, and he said he expects both teams inclined to go inside, that the referees are going to decide it. Whereas, when are they calling fouls? When aren't they calling fouls? Oftentimes, if it's a foul fest, the home team has the advantage because the crowd influences the ref. In general, not even in this game, Brad, when there is two inside teams competing against each other, how do you factor in who's refereeing? How do you factor in who's the home team?
See, a lot of times, I think home teams, generally speaking, you got to look at referees that could, you know, kind of be impacted by the crowd.
Every ref, yes. Somewhat impacted by the crowd. Some are more than others.
Yeah, so that, in my opinion, would favor Georgia in this instance.
Guys, next, after Kentucky and Georgia go final, it'll be Notre Dame at North Carolina. Number 13, Tar Heels, right now on pregame.com, are a 13-point favorite.
I love betting outliers, and therefore this is a like and a best bet for me on North Carolina minus the 13. What's the outlier? It's North Carolina's last game. The worst home loss ever under their head coach, Roy Williams, happened in their last game against Louisville. North Carolina lost by 21. Worst home loss in 224 home games under Roy Williams. I think there's been a market overreaction to that, throwing North Carolina in the trash. Why? What happened? Why'd they lose North Carolina by 21? Had by far their worst shooting percentage of the season. Shot 34% from the field.
So let's be clear here. If I'm listening, I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's what bad teams do, is they shoot bad. So how do you explain away a loss by saying they shot badly? But I think what you're saying is this, is defense can affect to some degree how well the other team shoots, but sometimes the team's just hot or cold.
Yep.
So give credit to the opposing defense on that bad loss for NC, but also just statistically, it was such a bad shooting night, you can't expect it to happen consistently. Thus, it was an outlier.
And North Carolina is a top 20 team offensively this year, so that was an outlier, the poor shooting performance.
So you like best bet, the bounce back. North Carolina has a strong history off losses under Roy Williams also.
Yeah, off a straight-up loss under their head coach Roy Williams, the next game, North Carolina covers 62.5% of the time, and we got a 91-game sample size.
Think about that. 91 games, over 60% of the time, North Carolina's off a loss. What does that tell us? It tells us that that loss motivates the team. And because of that, oftentimes when you have elite athletes, the motivation is the key. How motivated is this elite team? Well, North Carolina's elite. They're motivated off a historically bad loss. Last question, Brad. Quickly, Duke has a historic loss and North Carolina has a historic loss all in the same week?
Yeah.
Is that just coincidence? I don't know.
Guys, it's a Tuesday tradition here on Straight Outta Vegas. Steve Fezzik's early line move prediction on the year. As far as picks go, Fez is 10-3-1 on the season so far.
On these early picks, 10-3-1. And his line moves he's predicted? 10-1 correct, three times the line didn't move. So, Fez, over 90% of the time you get the line move right, you've got 40 seconds.
Yeah, New England, Kansas City, under 55. RJ, you'd think I don't listen to you, but I do. Temperature's going to be below 10 degrees, so great historical play to go under. And frankly, I think this really cold temperatures might impact Kansas City more than an average team. Mahomes doesn't have any data in really, really cold games. His hands are smaller than an average quarterback's hands, harder to grip the ball. And I know Tyreek Hill, 5'10", 185, he's a cheetah. Can he run in the Arctic? Not as well, I don't think.
Well, let's just say this. You know Fezzik is a man's man, very secure in his masculinity, if he's talking about the size of other guys' hands. So yeah. Let's give him credit.
We are straight out of Vegas. Use your hands and go check out the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next here on FSR. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.